Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're discussing saving big on your car and home insurance.
That's right, Joel. We're going to be talking about insurance, car insurance, home insurance.
Yeah, really in this episode, Matt, it's a bunch of tips and tricks to potentially save hundreds of dollars a year on, in particular, car insurance. That's going to be the biggest thing that we focus on, but it bundles often with home insurance or renter's insurance. And so, yeah, we're going to dive into all that today.
Yeah, Joel. But first, while we're on the topic of insurance, I wanted to share that I received in the mail yesterday from my car insurance provider a notice that stated that anytime they reduce the coverage that you receive on your insurance, that the state requires that insurance provider to notify you as a customer. And so I thought, what do they decrease? And it stated that they are no longer going to be offering coverage on the vehicle if you're logged into a transportation network platform, as in Lyft or Uber.
Ooh, okay.
Dude, isn't that crazy? And that's even if a passenger is not in the vehicle. So you can be logged in and maybe you're in between rides, or I guess maybe specifically they're saying if you're on the way to pick up a passenger, like you don't even have to have a passenger in the vehicle, but they are not going to be offering coverage, which I thought was crazy. And it also applies to car rental or share platforms like Turo. Like that's one we've mentioned before, where it's essentially Airbnb, but for your car. If you don't drive your car a lot, you can put it up for rent essentially, and folks can, you know, they show up and they can drive off in your car. But that totally caught me off guard, not because I drive for any of those apps, but it's because I know a lot of people do drive for Uber and Lyft, and certainly a lot of them have Nationwide insurance.
Yeah, and Nationwide is probably not the only insurer doing this. I feel like this is going to happen more and more. You're going to get a notice in the mail because insuring for rideshare drivers is a much bigger deal than just insuring for people driving to and from work, doing kind of their normal regular driving. Insurance is going to change a lot in the coming years too. And we'll talk a little bit later on in the podcast about insurers that track your mileage and bill according to how much you actually drive. But I think this is going to become standard. And it honestly, in my opinion, it makes sense for an insurer to say, you know what, we're willing to insure people for driving in a regular fashion, but we're just not willing to insure you in the same way if you are making a business out of driving your car. To me, that just makes sense.
Yeah, Joel. I mean, that does make sense. I totally get it, right? Because essentially before you're rolling a business expense into your private personal auto insurance. That's just something to be aware of though, and be wary of if you are driving for Uber and Lyft, just to know that that's probably no longer going to be covered automatically. There are a lot of coverage options though with most insurance providers where you can get additional coverage that does cover that. But again, just want to make sure that you are aware of that if you are driving. And just don't assume that things are going to continue on the way that they've been.
Or that you're covered right now, because you might not be. And so, yeah, just be aware and make sure you look into what you're actually covered for if you are driving. I think it's, yeah, an important takeaway for sure. More stimulating insurance talk just around the corner, Matt. But first, let's get into the beer that we're drinking today.
Yeah, Joel, our beer for this episode is from Anthem Brewing Company. And this was sent in by Cy in Oklahoma City. He actually reached out via Instagram. He shot us a quick little message there. Wanted to send us some beer.
Thanks, Cy. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks to him.
I already had a couple sips. This is really good.
Yeah.
A really odd name, Eurobureaus.
Yeah, we actually looked it up on the pronunciation, and we came across two pronunciations, Eurobureaus or Eurobureaus, which I'd never heard of this term before.
Yeah, I guess it means, and there's a picture of it, the snake eating its own tail on the label of this beer.
But to the style, this is definitely a stout. It poured nice and black, and we will get to our tasting notes and our thoughts on this beer at the end of the episode.
No doubt, but on to the topic at hand, Matt. And the problem with home and car insurance is that it's a big pain for people, at least in their mind, to shop. And so what they do is they avoid it, and they pay too much. Car and home insurance is one of those things that can sneak up on you. It can cost you too much. And it's also one of those things that if your homeowner's insurance is taken out of your escrow account, you might not even know how much you're paying year to year. And that's a problem because you might be paying hundreds of dollars more than you should be paying. And we all know that Geico has those catchy commercials that 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance, right? And that could be true that Geico could save you money.
It was definitely true for me and Kate.
Oh, good. Nice. All right.
Like 10 years ago, we switched over to Geico, and we were saving like 20 or 30%, man. It was huge.
Nice. All right. But it so depends on your individual situation, and we'll get to that a little bit further on. But the truth is that 15 minutes could really save you a bundle if you're willing to shop with a lot of different potential insurance companies. That is where you're going to find the biggest savings.
That's right. Not just with Geico, but with all the providers, man. And Jill, before we dive into the details, let's talk quickly about how you should be thinking about insurance, how you should be using it. And that is that insurance is for major accidents or incidents at home. The goal should be to not use your insurance at all. Hopefully, you have enough money set aside that you can cover small incidents, small little repairs that need to be made to your vehicle or to your house. You're not going to use and tap into your insurance. You're not going to make a claim every time there's a small little thing that happens. I learned this personally the hard way. As a teenager, I made lots of claims. And I'm not sure if this is because, you know, my parents didn't mention this to me, or more than likely they did mention it and I was not listening because I was an idiot when I was younger. But I hit multiple deer driving as a teenager, or my freshman year in college as well. And so obviously I had the repairs made when that happened because it smashed up the front of the car. Have you ever hit a deer or anything big like that?
No, I came close one time on the interstate. Dude, it was freaky.
Both times were on the interstate. Well, no, one time was on the interstate. The other time was on a highway. But either way, it really messed up my car. And then, so I made claims there. I made claims with two separate windshield cracks, separate from those deers as
not
well.
Not a windshield crack.
Yeah, which is the worst because that's really not that much money to repair. And I said, oh, let me pay that $100 and have that repaired for me for free is what I thought. Until I got kicked up to this high risk bracket. And then my insurance rates shot through the roof and I got booted off my parents' plan because I had to get my own. Do not do what I did when I was younger. Learn from my mistakes.
Yeah, so the average boost in premium when you get into an accident and you file a claim is 41%, which I thought was incredibly like high.
Staggering.
Yeah, staggering. For sure. So if you're paying, let's say, $1,000 a year on your car insurance premium, you're going to be paying pretty quickly after one claim, $1,400 a year. And that increased premium isn't just for 1 year. It's probably for 3 to 5 years, depending on how long of a look back period your insurer has. So avoiding unnecessary claims is huge. Insurance truly is for the catastrophic. It is for a major accident, not for a windshield repair, not for minor damage at your house. It really is for something catastrophic. So Matt, let's get into these tactics, the best ways that we can save money on our car and homeowners insurance.
All right, Jill, the first thing that we want to make sure you're doing is to bundle your insurance policies. Typically, if you have your policies all under one roof with a single company, that will give you the best rate. Versus if you have, you know, multiple plans kind of scattered throughout with different companies, you're going to, you know, typically you'll be paying more. And this can be with your home or your renter's insurance with your auto insurance. You don't necessarily have to have a homeowner's policy in order to get that multi-line discount.
Yeah, the next big thing is you want to shop around. This is literally the biggest thing. This is going to save you the most possible money. So every year or two, you're going to want to shop your rate with multiple insurance providers. And shopping for insurance, sadly, has not become as consumer-friendly as a lot of other things. But the thing I found, actually, it's a kind of a recent occurrence, Policy Genius, which is a site that we like for shopping for term life insurance. They recently launched a shopping tool on their site, and you actually call and talk to a human. They ask for your specific coverage needs, and you kind of walk through that with them. Then they get your specific current insurance policy details, and then they shop it around. They're kind of like an insurance broker, but doing it on a national level.
Yeah, like broker 2.0.
Yeah. So it's really cool. I went through the process, and it turned out that my current coverage was better than anything they could offer, which I'd done some extensive shopping in recent years, so I figured that might be the case. But it's kind of cool. Policy Genius has this awesome tool, and I'd recommend anyone to check it out for sure as an easy way to shop.
Nice, man. That's awesome. When you were talking with them, I mean, were they comparing like the bundled rates to the bundled rate that you have with your car and homeowners?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think that's what takes the most time. I mean, that's part of why I haven't shot mine maybe in the past couple of years is having to take those multiple policies and then kind of totaling, you know, your premiums with multiple lines that you have. It just adds additional steps. And when you have investment properties as well, that's something that it kind of seems like it's a pain in the butt, but can totally be worth the time and effort that you put into it to save, you know, hundreds, not just once, but every single year and I am preaching to myself right now. So let's move on.
Yeah. So one thing on the shopping that's really important is you're not, is if you're looking at getting coverage for multiple different assets, like a home and a car, well, you're looking for the cheapest overall coverage. So if the homeowner's insurance is really cheap on with one insurer, but the car insurance is really expensive with that same insurer, that might not be the best one. You're looking kind of for that sweet spot of the insurer that offers the overall lowest rate with decent coverage provided.
Yes. Yeah, that's so key. I mean, so with in my case, my car insurance is actually pretty expensive compared to what I know I could get maybe on more on the open market, right? But I get such a freaking great deal when it comes to my dwelling fire policies, which is what I have for investment properties, that it makes it worth it to stick with that plan rather than shop off that car insurance somewhere else, because they require that car insurance to stick around basically to offset the low prices that they're able to offer for the dwelling fire policies. So yeah, like you said, Joel, you want to look at the total cost and not just the individuals, because obviously you got to keep those clumped together to get that multi-line discount.
Yeah, when we're talking about pricing, well, it varies widely from person to person depending on lots of factors. That's why shopping is such a key part of this. Different insurers have different algorithms that determine how much you're going to pay for insurance. Some of those factors could be your credit, your age, your sex, zip code. All of those things are going to change the price that you're going to pay for insurance. Interestingly enough, Matt, I saw an article recently about how just a change in one zip code over can have massive impacts on what you pay for insurance. That's just something that's important to know, that even something as simple as moving one zip code over can have a major impact on what you pay for insurance.
Yeah, and I know a lot of folks have heard of the thing that once you hit 25 years old, how your car insurance rates drop. That is true. However, it's true that it continues to drop as well. It's not that once you hit 25, it's this magical number. Like certainly if you're a male driver, your car insurance premiums will drop. But yeah, they will continue to drop typically until the age of 34, at which point it kind of levels out. So don't expect to see like an overnight change as soon as you turn 25. But certainly as you grow up, you get older, you get a little bit wiser, and you make less reckless decisions when you're behind the wheel. I'm glad I'm rewarded for being a much smarter driver than I was when I was a teenager. So.
Yeah, so much more expensive when you're young, that's for sure. And by the way, because of those different factors, if one of those major factors does change for you, that's just another reason for you to get on the ball and to start shopping now. So if you did move, or if your credit score has had a big bump, or if you've just gotten a little bit older, it makes sense to start shopping your rates around again, because you really don't know what factors that your insurance company is weighting more. Maybe there's another one out there that finds you more favorable now.
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge reason, Joel, why some insurance providers might be a great fit for maybe you as an individual, but then, you know, your friend might also go to that same provider and they can't get the same deal that you can. Well, it's because that they're looking at those different factors. And so that's definitely something to consider, that it's not a one size fits all when it comes to car insurance. The other thing that you want to consider is an insurance broker. So after you've made some calls to, you know, different reputable insurance companies yourself, look into an independent insurance agent who can shop around with multiple companies to see if they can get you an even better rate. And you're going to want to take that and compare it to what you found independently. And you know what? Like if they find something better, give them your business.
Yeah, they're going to be able to shop with a lot more companies in a shorter period of time. And it's just going to take you a lot of phone calls, a lot of internet research in order to kind of get those quotes from other insurance providers. So it's obviously good to do a few on your own. And then you can ask a local independent agent, you know, what insurers they work with. And then on your own, shop with maybe a few others.
And that's what's great about an independent insurance agent is that they're not beholden to a specific company. And so, you know, they don't have any loyalties necessarily with a specific provider. Like we said, they're looking to provide you with the lowest rate. And if they're able to get you the best rate with a great company, well, you know, chances are that's who you should sign up with.
Matt, you just mentioned great companies. That's another important factor in saving big on car and home insurance, is that you would prefer to do business with a company that is highly rated, that is a good company. And so if you can combine great company with great rates, that's a match made in heaven. And so the best places to research companies to see whether they are solid providers or not is Consumer Reports and JD Power. Those are great places to turn. Consumer Reports is behind a paywall, so you're going to have to pay for that access. But JD Power is open to the public. And to be honest, they have very similar ratings typically. The insurers stack up pretty similarly every year.
They've got the same little circles that are kind of colored in, right? Off to the side next to the provider.
Yeah, they're both excellent. So if you just want to go for the free option, JD Power is great.
Yeah, we'll link to a recent study that JD Power's put out that you can access for free. And one of the things I love about that specific study, Joel, is that they broke it down not just overall, but they did it per region, because different insurance providers vary when it comes to, you know, the Southwest versus the Northeast or Texas. I think Texas and California, they like have their own category because they're so big.
They would.
Which is, I mean, I guess that makes sense. But then the Southeast, right? That's where we are. What's kind of amazing is that USAA, on every single one of those charts, they blow them all out of the water because they're just known for being able to provide amazing customer service. But because not everyone has access to USAA, they didn't necessarily include it in the real chart. It was kind of like down below a little bit, sort of removed from everyone else. But it doesn't really matter because they're still tops.
And that is good to know that USAA is typically one of the top rated providers. I don't have access to USAA myself, but Matt, your dad served in the armed forces, right?
So yeah, he served, and I got him to join so that I could get grandfathered in to and join. And I think once you join once, or you kind of get in there and get a quote, you're kind of in for life. But the rates, so here's the deal. What we're talking about is customer service. And even though they rank the customer experience and the service they're able to provide, it's not necessarily looking at cost as well. It's not that these are the most affordable options out there. And for me, I was looking for something that wasn't quite as high on the list when it came to service. I was willing to sacrifice a couple points when it came to service if I could, you know, get a rate that was significantly cheaper. And that happened to be the case with USAA. I know they're fantastic. Same thing with Amica. They're always up there high on the list. But for us, we were looking for something that was a little more kind of middle of the pack, which is what we ended up with. So
yeah, and there's reasons for that, right? That it actually makes sense maybe to go with a company that isn't the highest rated in order to save a bunch of money. And we'll talk about why that is a little bit more right after the break. All right, Matt, we're back, and we're talking about why it's not necessarily always in your best interest to do business with an insurer that has the highest ratings, and that's because it can cost you a whole heck of a lot more. And the goal of insurance, as we stated earlier, is to cover yourself in case of a catastrophic incident. And so hopefully, you're not going to have to be dealing with that insurer very often, really maybe a couple times in your life, where you're going to have a real major incident that requires your insurer stepping in on your behalf. And there's one way in particular that can help save us money and help us from filing claims that we shouldn't be filing. So let's talk about that.
Nice, buddy. I like how you kind of took that golf ball. You kind of teed it up there for me and just kind of stepped away, motioned at it.
Dude, I think you're going to hit a Tiger Woods 300-yarder. Bring it.
I see what you're doing here. And what we're talking about is the deductible. What you want to do is make sure that you're setting a higher deductible to save on your premiums. And this is to allow you to not only save on your premiums every year or every month if you're paying monthly, but also, you know, your goal is to avoid making that claim altogether, because every time, again, you make a claim, that significantly increases the chance of your rates going up. And so a lot of times an insurance provider, like the default deductible amount might be something pretty low, like $250 or even $500, but you want to see if you can raise that to be much higher, closer to $1,000 at least.
Yeah, and on a home, your standard deductible is probably going to be about $1,000, but you can raise that up to $5,000 or potentially even more, and that can have a big effect on how much you're paying in premiums.
Yeah, that can lead to massive savings every single year, right? However, what you want to keep in mind is that you have enough money set aside in an emergency fund or whatever you want to call it to cover that increase in deductible. You know, you're saving every single year by paying less in premiums by having a high deductible. But if the time ever does come where you do need to use your insurance, you need to make sure that you actually have the funds available to pay that deductible so that you can take advantage of your actual insurance. Otherwise, that might be an example of being cheap over frugal, right? You raised your deductible so high to where, you know, what's the point of even almost having insurance at that point? You want to find that balance between savings year in and year out, while at the same time knowing that you have enough money set aside for that.
Yeah, another factor that will help you, I think, decide to raise your deductibles up in order to save money and then also avoid making claims is probably something you never heard of. And it's called your CLUE report. And a CLUE report is...
What's that stand for, Joel?
The CLUE report, Matt, I'm glad you asked, stands for Comprehensive Loss Underwriting Exchange. And it is kind of this database for insurance companies to know what claims each individual has filed against their homeowners and car insurance.
Yeah, it's like an insurance dossier on you that the secret organizations have, and you can put your tinfoil hat on and everything. And still
yeah, and any claims.
But it's for real, though. It exists.
It totally exists. You can actually, I think once a year, you can check out your CLUE report for free from LexisNexis, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Yeah, Joel, it is similar to the annualcreditreport.com where you can go on once a year. It's something that you have to go on there. You might feel a little uncomfortable because you have to put in your social security plus some other info, but you fill that out, you send it in, and they will actually mail you that report, they say, about 2 weeks later, and that'll have all that information there for you.
Yeah, and the reason that the CLUE report is so important for you to know about, and it's really important for you to check up on yourself, is that anytime you make a claim, not only will it in all likelihood impact your rates now, but it'll massively impact your rates when you're shopping for insurance from other providers. So anytime that you can avoid making a claim, it's not only good for your current self, but it's good for your future self. And interesting thing about CLUE reports too, Matt, is that sometimes even when you just call your insurance provider to ask a question, or there are some of these smaller things that can actually impact your CLUE report as well. If you call for roadside assistance, if your insurer offers roadside assistance, that goes on your CLUE report.
Lame.
I know, it's terrible. Minimal claims on an electronic device where you think you're just making a request to get a couple $100 payout from your insurer. Well, even if it doesn't cost you money, it goes on your CLUE report. And that could impact the rates that you're quoted when you're shopping around for insurance from other providers.
Yeah, and the reason this is, Joel, you mentioned your future self, is because that CLUE report, things that go on your CLUE report stick around for 7 years. It's like freaking bankruptcy. Like, it goes on there, it sticks around for a long time before it drops off. And yeah, that harms your future self when it comes to trying to get some new affordable insurance.
Yeah, that's why we are such big fans of high deductibles and not making claims whenever possible.
All right, Joel, let's dive now into some quick and specific ways that you can save when it comes to your insurance. One is to pay in advance. You know, a lot of times you can pay annually or even every 6 months if you're not ready for that annual payout. You'll likely save a nice chunk by doing this. Just ask your insurance provider if that is an option and figure out how much you would actually be saving.
Yeah, at minimum, there's some sort of fee probably that you'll be able to avoid by paying in a lump sum as opposed to every month. Another thing you want to do is to get as many discounts as you can. I mean, you see it on the commercials for insurance companies all the time. There are all sorts of discounts for safe driving, driving a car with safety features, taking a defensive driving course. Matt, for example, and we can link to this in the show notes as well, I took a defensive driving course online from AARP, and I'm not even that old, but I decided that that was the easiest way for me to get a defensive driving certificate.
Nice.
It took a few hours for me to complete. Pretty sure it cost me $25. And in the long run, it has saved me hundreds of dollars over the years in insurance costs because insurers find that to be a really important thing. So any discounts that you can find, just continue to ask, what other discounts do you offer? What other discounts do you have? And find as many as possible because those really do cut down the cost of your insurance.
Yeah, Joel, one of our older episodes, The Art of Asking for a Discount, we talked about ways that you can go about asking for a discount to sort of empower yourself. Make sure that you're asking and finding out ways that you can save not only with your car insurance, but also your home insurance. A lot of times, if you have a security system or if you live in a gated community, there are discounts available for you there. It could even be as simple as replacing the standard tubes on your dishwasher or your washer with the sort of stainless steel braided hoses that are burst proof. Things like that reduce risk to your home. These are things that are low cost to you that could potentially save you a lot of money down the road.
Yeah, and you can even get a discount for what college you're affiliated with, for where you work, or if you have a kid, if they have good grades. So there are just all sorts of ways to get extra discounts on your insurance, but you got to make sure you ask. And specifically, when it comes to coverage, well, how much coverage should you actually have? And that's a great question. We'll address that right after the break.
All right, Joel, you teased a little bit to the amount of coverage that you would want to have, in particular when it comes to your home or your auto insurance. You just want to make sure that you are not skimping on the coverage in order to save money. We've already talked once in this episode about in an attempt to being frugal, that you end up being overly cheap, and that's not the case. You don't want to fall into that camp when it comes to your insurance. You want to make sure that you have enough coverage that you would be made whole in the event of a major home or car accident.
Yeah, and probably most people, Matt, when it comes to the actual coverages that they have on their policies, and in particular when it comes to our car insurance, a lot of us are probably rolling with state minimum coverage. And there are minimums set by every single state of how much insurance coverage you need to have just to be able to drive in that state. But that doesn't mean that that's enough insurance for you to have. And so there's a really good rule of thumb that you should have enough insurance essentially to cover your net worth. When you add up the value of your home, cars, savings, and investment, minus your debt, you'll want injury limits at least that high. So some of us might be just fine with the state minimum coverage, and others of us might need to bump that up. But it's an important thing to think about. You don't want to skimp on your coverage. You do want to shop. You do want to be smart. You do want to save money when it comes to your insurance coverage. But you also don't want to skimp and get too little. Because when you are in that accident, when you are in the scenario in which you need to use it, you could be left high and dry if you have way less coverage than you actually need.
Yeah, Joel, you don't want your insurance to be too lean when it comes time to actually using it because of an accident. However, a scenario where you can go lean and reduce that coverage is on older vehicles that you own. And this can be a huge savings. If you are able to self-insure, that can be your best way, your best bet to save big. And so what that means is foregoing collision and comprehensive when it comes to those older vehicles.
That's the beauty of driving something super old, Matt, where you can self-insure. If you have a car that's only worth a few $1,000, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I mean, depending on how much you have in your emergency savings fund, maybe up to $10,000 even. If you have a car that's worth in that range and you have enough savings to cover the loss of that vehicle, if something were to happen, well, it makes a whole lot of sense to reduce the coverage and reduce your outgoing expenses every month. And that only helps accelerate your savings if you're able to lower your insurance costs on that vehicle. You just don't want to be insuring a vehicle to the hilt that just isn't really worth very much.
One other way that you can save in your insurance premiums is to allow your insurer to monitor your driving. This was originally rolled out in order to reward drivers that were driving well under the speed limit, you know, weren't stopping and flooring it and stopping and flooring it a lot, that kind of thing. Eventually, some of the companies started evolving that to where drivers who were driving poorly, they were penalizing. And so it depends on the insurer that you're with. Make sure that you've read the fine print and that you know which behavior that your insurer is looking for, because, you know, depending on you and how you know you drive personally, this is a personal decision, but that might cause you to want to go ahead and get the monitoring, or maybe you want to stay away from that.
Yeah, there's some privacy issues and concerns there too. And I know some people are weird about that. I'm not. I am with Liberty Mutual and decided to sign up for, I forget what they call theirs, but I had to plug in a device into my car.
A little dongle.
Yep, yeah. Exactly. And then they monitored my driving for, I think it was 90 days. And I think I saved like 18% maybe on my insurance, something like that.
Nice, man. Did you drive like a grandma for those 3 months?
Yeah, most def. I think people were like, who is that driving in front of me? But I totally made sure to drive as carefully as humanly possible during those 90 days. There were probably a few days that I forgot that it was even on there. But yeah, man, it saved me some money for sure. And so if your insurer is not going to penalize you in particular for poor driving and you can only get a benefit from it, well, then it's totally worth looking into that.
But honestly, man, there's almost an argument to, even if they are going to penalize you, it's almost worth it in a sense to say, let me go ahead and sign up for that. It's essentially kind of like forcing yourself to adhere to a system of behaving, right? Like if you know that they're watching you, how much more carefully are you going to drive? And even if it only benefits you marginally when it comes to your insurance, think about the savings that it has on your gas mileage or on your tires and your brakes, or the likelihood that that decreases of, you know, you getting in an accident. I was reading how, you know, they'll even monitor if you kind of roll through stop signs and how that can influence your premiums. Well, if you know that you're being watched, if your insurance is watching you to come to a complete stop, well, that's only going to decrease the chances of you maybe getting in a little fender bender at a four-way stop, right? There's just something about that kind of appeals to me, of sticking to a system where you know you're locking into this behavior and you're sort of making yourself do it. I like that external stimulus. I don't know what that says about me, but I like it.
Yeah, no, sometimes you need a little bit of pressure to force yourself to behave. And that is one way, I think, yeah, getting that insurance monitoring dongle put in your car is kind of one way to kind of force you to drive a little bit more safely. And that's, yeah, good for you, good for everybody else on the road, and potentially good for your insurance premiums. All right. And another thing to consider, Matt, is people should really think about driving less overall. The less you drive, the more you could potentially save. on insurance costs. And that is because a lot of insurers are willing to give you a discount if you drive fewer than typically 7,500 miles a year. That's the kind of break point at which they will give you a break on insurance costs. And there are new startup companies like Metromile that also only charge by the mile that you drive. I think that's going to become more standard too as the industry grows and evolves. I think we're going to see more insurers charging by the mile.
And sort of like a pay-per-use sort of insurance.
Exactly. I mean, it only makes sense, right, that you would get charged in that way. So if you don't drive a whole lot, see what sort of discount your current insurer is willing to provide. And if you have an opportunity to go with a company like Metromile to shop a rate with an insurer that does charge by the mile, well, that might make sense for you too.
Yeah, I actually checked out Metromile to see if they are offered in Georgia, and they are not, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think they're only in like 8 states right now.
Yeah, I mean, I really want to see something like Metromile expand. Considering I work from home, my family, we don't drive very far. When we do drive, I would love to be able to save even more on our car insurance by joining a system that's more pay-per-use.
Yeah, all right, so I completely agree. And the other way, Matt, to drive less is to bike more. We love biking. We talk about that a lot. And so if you can get on your bike a little bit more, maybe make one commute to work each week on your bike, or maybe just run to the grocery store on occasion on your bike, any way that you can hop out of your car a little bit less, you'll get a little more exercise, and it could potentially also save you some money on your car insurance. So yeah, just drive less in general, right?
Yeah, Joel, that makes me think of this mom out in Seattle, Washington, that recently commented on one of our posts on Instagram, and they've got 4 kids. And they have your bike, the Radwagon, the electric e-bike.
It's a beaut.
And I think they've got close to 3,000 miles on their bike, and they've only had it for maybe like a year and a half or something like that, I think. But I think that's amazing. You know, that they're using their bike way more, using the vehicle less. And we're not going to get into it now, but there are just, yeah, there's tons of different benefits to biking over riding in a vehicle. But just know that you've got to give it a shot.
All right, Matt, let's get back to the beer. Today on the show, we had Euroboros Stout from Anthem Brewing Company.
Or is it Euroboros?
I have no idea. But I think we gave it a good shot, both of us there.
We gave it a shot.
And this was donated to us from Cy in Oklahoma. So, Cy, thanks so much for sending us this beer, man. This was very much a quintessential Belgian-style roasted dark stout. And I thought it was really tasty. What did you think, Matt?
Nice. Yeah, Joel, I'm with you. I didn't actually pick up on the Belgian notes until you mentioned it, but I can totally taste that. Like, we don't always go for more of a Belgian-style stout. I'm glad that we have this. I think it's amazing that we have listeners who send us in beers occasionally and that we're able to try amazing beers from all across the country. I wanted to mention the label on this. I'm a sucker for a pretty cool design can artwork, and it's a black and white sort of look to it, which made me think of just a cow, because cows are black and white.
True.
Which also then made me think of a milk stout. And so I don't know if it was the Belgian yeast in this beer, but it almost had this sort of soft, bready character to the stout that made me almost think of a milk stout, even though technically this is not a milk stout, but it is just in my crazy head.
All right, man, you can call this whatever you want, but either way you slice it, this was pretty tasty. But always good to have something that's kind of different. And by the way, I love when a beer can tells you what it pairs well with. So this can states that it pairs well with hummus, grass-fed beef, aged cheddar, and dark chocolate. And that's just kind of nice to know what your beer is going to go well with if you're going to have a little dish with it too, or an appetizer or a dessert.
But what if you just wanted to have a 50-cent hot dog with it? You're going to be able to fly with that?
Hey, you know what? Any beer is good with a 50-cent hot dog, that's for sure.
Is that how much the hot dogs are at Costco, 50 cents?
No, well, so I think you have to buy the hot dog with a beverage, and so it's $1.50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did the prices go up? I thought it used to be cheaper than that.
No, man. I think they've been the same for a long time. Like, Costco has not raised the price on the hot dog or the chicken.
Since the 80s.
And at some point, you and I, we're still going to do this show. You
the
and
Costco
me,
episode?
You and I debating Costco.
Well, I need to go before I debate it. I'm just kidding. I've been like once.
What a hater. All right, we're going to get through to you. This is going to happen. Matt's going to be a Costco convert, and that will happen in the near future. We promise.
All right, Joel, let's wrap this episode up. First, though, let's end it with our final thoughts. The first thing you need to do when it comes to your car and your home insurance is to make sure that you are shopping it around. If you've had the same provider for a number of years, chances are you are overpaying because loyalty, it just does not pay anymore when it comes to your insurance. You can likely get a better product, get a better rate, and maybe even better service by hopping over to a different provider. With sites like Policy Genius, it's no longer a pain, so make sure you're considering all your options.
Yeah, Matt. And another thing you need to do is to set your deductible as high as you possibly can. That's a form of self-insurance, which will reduce your premiums at the same time, prevents you from filing a claim on something small. Because it turns out that those small claims can have major impacts on what you're going to pay for insurance for years and years to come.
That's right, Joel. The goal when you have insurance is to use it as little as possible. And also, don't forget to ask for those discounts. You never know what sort of special offers that your insurance provider offers. Take advantage of those discounts, but chances are you're not going to get them unless you ask.
And just get on your bike more. Come on. I mean, like, if you've learned anything from this episode, that's probably the most important takeaway. Just
not just this episode, but this podcast in general. We always go back to the bikes. We love the bikes.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Maybe annoyingly so to a lot of people. We do. But we will have show notes up for this episode and links to the JD Power survey, to Policy Genius, and more at our website, howtomoney.com.
And if you found this episode helpful, we would love for you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts. You know, each one of those positive reviews helps us to get the word out to those who don't know about the show. So thank you for helping us get the word out.
All right, buddy. Until next time, best friends out.
Best friends out.